and your life, Pastor.
All right. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Let's see. We're trying to get started here. I hope everybody's tuning in, but shalom to you. Manishma, I hope everybody is doing well. Kol beseder. And the other thing is, have you guys heard that Pastor Sandy, Pastor Ben, not just Pastor Sandy and Pastor Ben, the choir, the whole church is going to Hawaii February 16th of 2020, but it'll still be 2019 unless Passover is before that, I have to check, of 2020. There's going to be a church service at 41225 Lupe Street. And that is in, this is the thing about, what's the name of this part of Hawaii, Pastor Ben? Wamalulu?
It's on the Big Island.
It's on the Big Island? Okay.
Yeah, that's all I know.
And that is, it's Wamalalo, Hawaii. That's where the service is going to be held at. Mm-hmm. And it's on the Big Island. And if you want the address, and if you like to come, you're more than welcome to come. We're not offering any free trips, but if you want to come and be with us in Hawaii, we're going to be ministering on that Sunday, and I think we're going to be there, about 4 or 5 days, Pastor Ben?
We're going to get there on Friday and leave on Monday, but the service is only one day.
Yeah, the service is only one day, but we're just going to get there Friday. We are going there for ministry. Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and then we'll be back. We're leaving on Monday, right?
Yes.
And we're leaving on Monday to come back so we can have Bible study on Wednesday.
Amen.
We're about ministry here.
Yes.
Okay,
Pastor, so. You should have told them there's no service next Wednesday or Thursday.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Ben. Did you guys hear that? If you didn't, there's no. Because of Thanksgiving, people will be with their families and out of town and traveling. And we pray that you guys have a great time with your family in your rip-off Feast of Tabernacles ceremony. Because that's what Thanksgiving is. So, but, you know, at the end of the harvest, we should be able to thank God. And we're just thanking God for the whole year. And I don't see anything pagan about thanking God for blessing you for a year. It's probably the only time that people really actually get to come together and say, hey, this is Thanksgiving. Let's thank God for our family and everything like that, right? But, you know, some people say, hey, it's a pagan holiday. It's really the Indians being killed and all this.
Still thank God for the day.
Yeah, that's we're going to talk about that when we talk about Christmas, because there are some pagan holidays that I wouldn't touch, and then there are some that have been stolen from the Hebrews and incorporated into ours, and then you don't want to keep everything with Christmas. I'll tell you what's pagan and what's not pagan.
Right.
The tree is not only pagan if you bring it in there and you bow down and you worship it.
Right.
Okay, so you'd have to put gold and silver on it, not lights, okay? You'd have to put gold and silver. If you got some gold and silver to put on the tree and then bow down and worship it as God, then you'll be doing something that's pagan. But the lights is not one of them. Okay, it's hard to get past perpetrated lies that go on for a long time, because you got the Jewish roots movement, which is, I think, excellent, because we should know God's feast days, but we should also know what was stolen from the Jews and what parts were stolen and what parts are good and what parts are not. And if Jesus was born on December 25th, if you know anything, you know he was not born on December 25th.
Right.
But I can show you a video that shows you that the star appeared right over Jerusalem on December 25th, announcing the conception of the Messiah. So we celebrate it as an invasion day, right? We don't celebrate it as a pagan day, right? This is the great day that God, the conception and the invasion started, because then God came down and then And then we had that really great gift, which was our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to stop looking at this. Oh, here, let me tell you guys. If you want to go to this, I need you to show this, Pastor Dan. Okay. There's a guy at our church, 951, that's his number, 444-9950. His name is Deshaun Warren, and he's a travel agent. If you want to go and he can work out something for you, we'd be glad to see you there. You could even surprise us or let us know that you're going to be there, and that would be awesome. Make sure that don't flip over. Okay, now we're going to get back to Bible study, but let's pray in first.
Yeah.
I'm praying this only one more time because I'm trying to get rid of the crazies. Because the crazies, they want to Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, but they don't want to love the Lord with all their heart, their soul, and their strength. They just want to, you know, they want a God, they want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. And we want Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, okay?
That's big. Your mic is not on.
Can you hear me still?
They ask me, they tell me your mic's not on.
All right, thank you. You guys are cool. All right, now I hope you can hear me even better. Okay, so let's say this Shema prayer, and then let's get started because I love this prayer. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Vehavata et Adonai Elocha, Bekov Lavabaka uko nefishka uko mehodeka. Vehayu hadevarim haeli asher anochi mishvacha hayom al Lavabaka. Veshanatam levanecha, vedebarta bam beshifticha tevetecha uvletecha viderek. Ushakbecha ukumeka, ushatam laot al yadecha, vehayu latutafot bainayenecha, utaftam al mizuzot biteka, uvishareka, beshem Yeshua, anachnu tefilim. And we agree, Father God, to not only be your family that you have saved, but also to make you Lord of our lives. He says, when you do this, he says, you have to love the Lord like God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your might. And, you know, put these words in your house and put these scriptures all over the place so you remember who you serve. Because we are not in a relationship with God that is one way. Our relationship with God is two ways. Okay. Mm-hmm. No, it's just a spam. I'm just turning off the spam. Okay, I want us to listen to something that I'm going to read from a book that was sent to me by Linda Sorcy, which I haven't talked to yet, but I hope she heard me last night. Thank her for the book. I could not keep the front page of the book because it had an upside down star on it, and I will not have that in my house. So I ripped that off immediately, threw that in the trash, and then I said, now let me go read the book. And I read some very interesting things, because I have the book of Jasher and all of these books Ken Johnson has written and things like that. But I read this very important matter. And it was some of the pagan things that pagans did in the time before the flood. Now, it says here on page 40, homosexual marriage, okay, in ancient paganism. There has always been homosexuality. It has always been classified as a sin before God. The Canaanites practiced homosexual rituals in the worship of their god and goddesses. But since the time of Noah, there has never been a nation that sanctioned homosexual marriage. But the rabbis state this did occur right before Noah's flood. This may have been a part of the pre-flood religion, or it
or it just may have been a result of it. So right before the flood of Noah sanctioned homosexual marriages were going on, okay? And so one of the rabbis, Rabbi Joseph, says the generation of the flood was not wiped out until they wrote marriage documents for the union of male to male or male to animals or male to women, until they wrote documents for the union of homosexual marriages. Okay? So, and it says, and it says, and what did they do? A man got married to a man, a woman to a woman. A man married a woman and her daughter. I'm talking Leviticus chapter 18, verse 3. And a woman was married to two men. Therefore, it is said, you shall not walk in their statue. Okay, so the documentation that this is now something we're going to document as being legal was something that was going on right before the flood. At the end of 120 years. We're at the end of 120 years. Are we documenting that homosexuals can now be married?
Yep.
Wow, so it's going to be just as it was in the days of Noah. Incredible, okay? I think God knows what is going on and what is happening in these last days. I want us to be today in the book of Luke as we were last night, and because I want us, a matter of fact, let's go, before we go to Luke, let us go to Matthew chapter 24, because I want you to see the exact same thing. We talked about last night some of the people that are falling into, I can continue to sin because I've already got saved when I was 12. So, but I want you to know the reason why the Lord wanted me to speak on that is because of the title of the message. The enemy is on short time, and he's not really interested in people he already has captured. The world's already captured. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. He's trying to get into the church because he wants the church to fall away from this salvation. How can I trap as many people into this trap as possible? Because the people that don't know God, they're already heading into tribulation, okay? And the people that know God but are living in sin, they want to teach those people that you don't have to repent. You can stay in sin because you're already saved. And once you're saved, you're already sealed until the day of redemption, which the scripture doesn't say you're sealed until the day of of redemption. It says you've been given the Holy Spirit as a seal for the day of redemption.
Right.
Okay. Proper understanding of the scripture. Okay. So, but I want to read this in Matthew because of what Jesus said. And we're going to talk about what Jesus said. Now, the question is it possible for Jesus to lie? No. Okay? The scripture says it's impossible for God to lie.
Yes.
Wow. There's nothing that God can't do. He can't lie. Okay? It's impossible. Okay? So understand this. When Jesus says this statement, he's telling you something that is going to happen in this generation, okay? It's God's job to do what? To hide a matter, right? And the glory of kings to do what? To search it out. So, we talked last night about this statement that Jesus said. Now, let's look at the scripture.
What verse? Chapter 24, verse.
I'm going to start at verse 30, because I want you to know what's going on here. Jesus, they asked Jesus, what will it be like at the end of time, right? Okay, what will it be like? What will be going on?
In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, he then begins to tell them there will be wars and rumors of wars, but don't be concerned about wars and rumors of war. But he says, but when you see nations rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdom, this is the beginning of what? Of sorrows. This is the beginning of sorrows. Now, remember, in the 1900s, there was rumors of wars, but there had not been a war till 1914. So he said, this is the beginning of sorrows. Okay? Once this war starts, then now he starts talking about other things that are going to happen in the 1900s. He begins to talk about the rebirth of the nation of Israel being one of them, okay? So one of these things that will happen during the last generation is the rebirth of the nation of Israel.
Yes.
Now, the rebirth of the nation of Israel does not begin the last generation. It's impossible that it would begin the last generation because if the rebirth of the nation of Israel starts the last generation, then that would mean that the 40 years is the 40-year prophecy that Jesus said, that we say that, you know, the 88 reasons for 88. Mm-hmm. Then when 1988 passed, we would have to look back and say, okay, then Jesus saying this generation would not pass is not true. Because 40 years passed after the 1948, and there was no rapture. If we say that when Israel was rebirthed, 70 years is a generation, now we know that we would still be wrong because 70 years have passed and there was no rapture. So, is there another stretch of time that God talks about the last generation in Scripture? Yes, the generation of Noah. And it is Jesus in this same chapter that says, when this event happens, it will be just as it was in the days of Noah. I was given a dream about, I guess, 4 nights ago. And I was given a message when I woke up from this dream. In my dream, I was preaching this message. We are approaching the 120th year, and that is the last year of the generation of the righteous, and the rapture is about to occur. I was preaching it. I was going everywhere. I was just preaching it. You should, in my dream, I was just on fire. If you were in my vicinity, you heard we're in the last year of that judgment time and the rapture is about to happen. While I was actually speaking to someone, fire came from the sky and hit the earth and I saw it. Boom!
Wow.
And I was in the air and I looked to the side and I saw a group of people. I think it was you guys. Underneath the canopy in the sky.
Yeah.
And I looked at you and you said, hey, Pastor Sandy. And I went, wow. So I said, the Christians are okay.
Yeah.
But I know I just saw judgment fall. I wake up and the Lord says, while you're preaching this message, it will happen. In the midst of you preaching this message, it will happen.
Wow. Sherry said, woohoo.
I'm like, Lord, I'm going to preach this message and I'm not going to preach it with any fear. Because I know what the enemy wants to say. Mm-hmm. If you preach this message and there's no rapture from March to March of 2020, you're done. Because that's what Satan wants me to say.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, We're in the 120th. We're going to be in the 120 year when Passover happens.
Yes.
And that is the last generation that Jesus was talking about.
Yes.
He said, in the last generation, this is what they're going to see. And it uses the same term, the Ledor HaAcharon, which means in Hebrew, the last generation or the terminal generation. No matter how they translate it in English, it is the last generation.
Yes.
Okay, so this is it. Watch this, okay? In verse 30, it says Jesus is winding up what he told them, okay? Because he's letting them know how it's going to be at the end, okay? So he says in verse 30, at that time, he says, the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the cloud of the sky with power and great glory. He will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather the elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. Okay? He's collecting the elect. The elect are always the Jewish people.
Yes.
Verse 32. It uses this term. Come over here with me again, Pastor Ben. Now, do a little Greek study. When you see this, we write in English, now learn the lesson of the fig tree. It says, D means I'm talking about another subject. I just finished. When I finish one subject and I want to move on to another subject, I'm going to put this word right here in Greek to let you know the past subject I just talked about is over. A new subject is now beginning. Okay. And here it says, now learn the lesson of the fig tree. What it's using is D. Now I'm going to talk about a new thing. This is the lesson of the fig tree. In Luke, when you see it, it says, when you see all these things, it uses the same thing, D.
Wow.
Because it says, now I'm talking to you about a new subject, okay? Because the new subject is not the coming of Christ and the end. The new subject he wants to talk to us about is the rapture of the church,
yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And in this generation, he's letting you know, now this is the generation I'm talking about. Let's get back over here, Pastor Ben. Okay. So after he tells you how he's going to return in the sky and he's back on the earth, verse 32 says, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. Who's the fig tree? Israel. As soon as its twigs get tender, when did they get tender? 1947. No, 47 they got tender. And his leaves come out 1948 because now they were back in the land. Okay? You know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near right at the door. Jesus speaking, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So, when we see Israel rebirth back into the earth, we know that we are in a particular generation.
Yes.
What generation are we in? It doesn't say that Israel starts the generation. It says, but in that generation, you're going to see it, and that generation will not pass.
Right.
Because how do we know now? Because we get to verse 36, and it says, nobody knows about the day or the hour, not the year, not the month, the day or the hour. So I'm not going to try to prophesy to you either a day or an hour. But I will go for a year, and I will go for a month sometimes.
We certainly know the season.
Yes. No one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son,
but only the Father. And then he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Okay? So, he directs you back to Noah's days. And he says, it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah. What are the days of Noah? Genesis chapter 6. My spirit will not always dwell with men. Your years shall be 120 years. Then what? Then my spirit will not dwell with men. Okay? So God is telling them, look, the flood is coming upon the earth, Noah, and it's coming in 120 years. Jesus says, our time is going to be just like their time. Okay? So now, the incredible thing is this, you guys. If the scriptures does not give you a 120-year count that something different happens during our lifetime, then we could say, well, there's no prophecy talking about our current day and things that would happen and when that 120 years would end. But the scripture does. And what does it do? It gives you the book of Psalms. But it doesn't give you the book of Psalms anywhere. It gives you the book of Psalms in the 19th book. Okay? Mm-hmm. Then it gives you, it begins prophesying each year, and then it gives you in 1947 the fig tree budding, meaning the UN announcing to the world that they're going to give back the land to Israel. Mm-hmm. Then in the 19th book of the Bible, Psalms in 48, it talks about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. But listen what it says in Psalms 48. Let's go to Psalms 48. You guys, stick with me. I'm telling you, I just know when God called me to do this, he called me to do this to be successful. And we've had some bumpy roads, but I believe I will see us leave here into the kingdom in the air, and I will say, now I know what God called me to do and why he called me to do it, okay? In Psalms chapter 48, now from 1 to 12, all it's talking about is the exact same scenario of how Israel entered the land. They came into the land, nations gathered together, enemy nations gathered together to destroy him, but God fought the war. They stayed in the land. But then in 12 and 13, he says, walk around Zion, okay? Go around and count her towers. Consider well her rampart. View her citadels, that you may go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon, to the last generation. So that when you see this, go and tell what God has done in the nation of Israel in the last generation.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. Now, if you go to Deuteronomy, chapter 29, verse 22, we read this. 29, verse 22 of Deuteronomy. Your children who follow you in the Lador HaAcharon, your children who follow you in the last generation, and foreigners who come from distant land will see the calamity that has fallen on the land and the diseases of which the Lord has afflicted it. The whole land will be a burning waste of salt, sulfur, nothing planted, nothing sprouting, no vegetation growing. It will be like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, okay? So now he's saying when Israel comes back to the land and when foreigners come to that land, they're going to see a land that has been decimated. If you continue, it says people will ask them, what happened to this beautiful land? What happened to this land? Why does it look like a desert wasteland like a bomb hit it?
Right.
And he'll tell them the children of Israel were not obedient, and so they were pushed out of the land, and therefore this is the curse that fell upon it, okay? He said, but in the last generation, when you come back in 1948, it'll look destroyed and decimated, okay? But now, once they got back, God said, it's going to become fruitful. I'm going to restore your language. Hebrew. People were not speaking Hebrew, okay? God restored the language of Hebrew in the nation of Israel during 1948 in this last generation. When did the last generation begin? We read Matthew chapter 25. Let's now read Luke chapter 21. Because we know that Matthew chapter 24, what it talks about. Then it says, okay, it'll be like it was in the days of Noah. People will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that the Lord comes. And it says, then one will be taken and the other one left. Okay, so he's telling you about an event that's going to happen. That Thessalonians also says that those that are still walking around will be caught up together with those and we will meet them in the air. It's the same event God is talking about, okay? He's talking about the rapture is going to happen in this generation. Yeah. And he says, this generation will not pass until you see it, okay? Now watch this. We're in Luke chapter 21. And I think we began last night in verse 25. He does the same thing, okay? Yeah. He says, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish. Why? Because this is the end of the tribulation. Perplexity and the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. 28. D, this is a new subject. This is a new subject. Okay? Verse 28. When you see these things happen, he's talking about something else. He's not talking about the end. Why? He just told you how that's going to end. When you see these things happen, what things? Stand up, lift up your head, because you know your redemption draws near. What is the thing we're going to see? He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. Look at Israel and all the nations of the world. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself that summer is near. Talking about the fig tree. Even so, when you see these things happen, know that the kingdom of God is near. Now, he says, not just the fig tree, but look at all the trees in the world. Because all the trees in the world are the ones who came to the UN and voted for Israel to have their land back. Look at all of them. Look at what all of them are doing. They're all come together. They gathered in one place and they said, we're giving the land back to the Jews. Okay? Now, if the last generation started in 1948, okay, and we look at scripture and we say, okay, if it was in 48, we know that there are three areas in scripture that the last generation, the generation is spoken of. But listen what Jesus says, because we got to read this portion. In verse 32, Jesus speaking, my Bible's still in red. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until you see all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. He confirms it twice. But now he says, be careful. Talking to Christians or your heart. Be careful. He tells us. He's telling born again believers, be careful. Why? Because you're still living in the world. You still may have some friends who aren't saved. You still may remember how fun it used to be to sin. You know what? You're still in your flesh. So Jesus is giving them a warning. Look, be careful that you don't get caught up in this world doing what they do, doing what the pagans do. Okay? So he tells them And be careful that you don't get weighed down with dispensation and drunkenness. Don't start doing what these people do. And he says, and the anxieties of life. Don't you let the anxieties of life pull you away from God, right?
Right.
Okay. And he says, and that day close on you unexpectedly like a trap. So how can it close on me unexpectedly? I put Jesus on the background. I'm concerned with the anxieties of life, okay? Or I've fallen back into sinning with some of my friends. James gave me a scripture this morning, and I can't remember the scripture completely, but it says that the wicked thought in his heart, my master is a long time in coming, and began to beat the servants. He had a master, mm-hmm. but since he said it's a long time in coming, he became careless and fell back into bad behavior, right? So he's saying, don't do this. Be careful that you don't do this. Why? He says this. He says, for it will come upon all those, what? The trap.
Yes.
He says, and he says, it will close on them unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the whole face of the earth. Be always on watch and pray that you will be able to escape what is about to happen on the earth. When? In the last generation. Okay? In the last generation, because now we're in this generation. Now, Jesus says it twice. This generation will be the last. He says this generation, he says it'll be the last generation. You know why? Because he says in this generation, this is what you're going to see. Okay. 24 says you're going to see one taken and the other one left. Here it says you're going to see something come up on the earth that's going to affect the whole earth as a trap. Okay. So now Jesus is telling you this generation is going to be. And he says, and he confirms it by saying this. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So now you get someone that comes forward, and what do? They say, oh my goodness, let me go to Numbers chapter 32. Verse 13.
32:13.
Yeah. Ooh, when I take my glasses off, everything just disappears. Okay, so we're in Numbers, and we're where?
32:13.
And it says here, the Lord's anger burnt against Israel, and he made them wander in the desert 40 years until the whole generation of those who had done evil in his sight were done. So you're going, oh my goodness, 40 years. For they were in the wilderness for 40 years. The whole generation for that whole 40 years died off. So God is saying that a generation is 40 years. Thus, 88 reasons for 88. 1948 to 1988. 40 years, of course. Jesus said, that generation, we know a generation is 40 years. So now, I'm doing this because we need to understand that either the author of this book was wrong in understanding what a generation was, or Jesus was wrong in what he said. We have to consider that. So now we say, let's choose Jesus, okay? The author was wrong. He didn't know what the last generation was. So therefore, let us continue to look. Because the author of that book said that a generation was 40 years. Jesus says this generation will not pass until all this happened, and nothing happened. So therefore, the author had to be wrong, right? Not the author of the Bible, the author of the book that wrote 88.
Yes.
He was wrong.
Yes.
He was absolutely wrong. So now he has to. Now, he could have given up and just said, well, no, it's impossible to find out then, because that was the only answer in the Bible. until we get to, we could go so many places, because I showed you guys that there are several incidents in the Bible that says that a generation is 70 years. We saw Joseph as he went into Egypt, and he said the whole generation of all of his relatives that came to Egypt died off in that 70 years. And Joseph died when he was 71. So we saw a 70-year generation. And he said, so right there, God is saying that was a 70-year generation. They all died off in that 70 years. Wow. Okay. So now we get to back to Psalms. Hope you guys writing all this down.
Going to Psalms?
Yeah, I'm back in Psalms. And I'm going to go to 90. And verse 10. And look at this. It says, the length of our days is 70 years. See, I told you 70 was a generation. Okay? And it says, or 80 if we have strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Now, always go to the Hebrew and look at it, okay? Because what it's saying is, the time of our years is 70 years, okay? But it says their pride, their arrogant pride, okay? And their labor of sorrow continued an additional 10 years. It says, but we fly away. Okay? So the people that make it the 80 years are not the people of God. The people that make it to the 80 years are what? Are those that their labor and their sorrow and their rebellion is continued, and it says, but we fly away, okay? So,
8 minutes, Pastor.
All right, now check this out. Check this out, you guys. The 6,000 years was over in 2017, okay? The World War II was over with in 1945. Yet, Israel did not move back into the land until 1948. So, they spent 6 years in Holocaust. But, they spent an additional 3 years before they actually moved back into the land. Now, they saw many beautiful things happening. They saw people getting on boats, trying to get back to Palestine, which was at the time. They saw the UN come together and promise them the land in 1947. Okay, so they saw the Nuremberg trials and Hitler's 10 henchmen being killed, which is prophesied in Esther, right? So God is prophesying all of this event in it that's going on in Israel, God has already prophesied in the Bible, okay? Amen. So they're seeing this, but they don't actually move back into the land till 3 years later. I say that because of this. We saw the 6,000 year end in 2017. Yet, the 120 years is not till 3 years later. So is it possible that after these 3 years that the wedding takes place, that we actually go into the land after the third year? Because Jesus died on the cross, yes, our victory, but the true victory is not won till he rises 3 days later. Okay? So I'm looking at this 3 years as a symbol of they took 3 years, Jesus took 3 years, and here's my church, the 6,000 years over. What did the 6,000 years represent? A work time.
Yes.
I will work for my bride for a full week. So I worked for my bride Now plan my wedding. Maybe in the third day, he gets his wedding. And the 120th year, 2020, is upon us. Okay? We have confirmed it by Psalms 1 all the way to Psalms 120. And then if Psalms 120 gives us a marker that says this is a completely new time or this is a completely new count. So Psalms 1 through Psalms 120, there is no psalm called the Psalm of Ascent until you get to Psalms 120. There's no psalm that says this is the psalm of going up until you get to Psalms 120. So the Bible counts off 120 before you get to the Psalm of Ascent.
Wow.
And the psalm and the 120 is what? All Israel speaking of the turmoil and the trouble that has now come upon them. Okay? And then for the next seven books, you get a complete scenario of the tribulation. Okay? I want to explain something to you. How much time I got, Pastor Ben? Shouldn't take much time. We have to get busy preaching the word of God. We have to get busy telling people to be born again. We have to get busy preaching this message. In my dream, I was busy. And this is all that I preached. I didn't preach anything else. And I want you to know I've got to get busy preaching this. And you say, Pastor, but what if, what? Leave the what ifs alone. My job is to preach what God gave me because he gave me this in 2003. Now, you said, but in 2010, nothing happened and people talked about you. Thank you for reminding me. I remember. But in 2017, you said that and nothing happened. Thank you for reminding me. But in all of that, God never came to me and said, what I told you to preach in 2003, you can stop now. He said, continue.
Yes.
Look for the answer, because the answer is in the word of God.
Yes.
And the answer is what Jesus already told you. It will be as it was in the days of Noah. 120 years and time is up. The flood's about to happen. Noah's going up with the other seven in the boat, and we're about to be done. And you guys have got to understand, we're preaching because tribulation is far more than what they think.
Mm.
The people that land in heaven don't say, Lord, when are you going to judge those very bad people on the earth that have killed us? They're going to say, when are you going to judge the inhabitants of the earth? Because they understood that the people that killed them were not human.
Right.
Okay.
Amen.
And you've got to understand what you're going to see in the tribulation is far more than what you can possibly understand. You've never seen 2 billion people killed in a war. You didn't even live through World War I or World War II, and that was a lot of people dying. But you've never seen. But the scripture says that 1/3 of the population was killed in one war. Okay. And so you're talking about a couple of billion people dying in one war at one time, okay? So you got to understand, God has given us all of this warning and all of this time so that we could get it right. Not that, so that we can make excuses for sins and stay in sin. He's trying to save you, and saving you, he can't have you being lukewarm, so he gives you a warning. He says, be careful that you don't fall into this, and make sure that the anxieties of life don't overcome you, because you have to make sure that you keep watching and praying and be ready, or else it will come upon you as a trap. Yes. That means Jesus has to be number one in your life every day, and you got to seek him first, because that's the most important. The most important thing to me in my life right now is escaping what's coming. And I hope
that is the most important thing in your life for you and your family. And it doesn't matter, okay, that they think you're crazy, that you following Jesus and you love Jesus and you're telling them that the Lord has come. It doesn't matter, because if one of them hears you and their life is saved, they will thank you for eternity.
Amen.
So praise God. That's the end of the message today. Sunday, I hope you're here. I began receiving some things from the Lord, and I just want to really give a great message of encouragement to all our brothers and sisters all over the world who are serving Jesus Christ the right way. Okay? So praise God. Let's pray out. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, there is going to be, I heard from a source, there's going to be another rescue of children from bunkers.
Praise God.
Okay, it's in process right now. There won't be anything said again about it until after it happens. But I want you to know the one in China Lake did happen. They did get rescued. That was 1,000. The one that recently happened, that was 2,300. That did happen. And the one that's going to happen in the coming future is another one that's going to happen. And I will definitely let you know when it happened. OK, and I'm going to ask that, you know, I don't know what I can ask for, because I don't know how much they can expose, how much they can put on. It won't be put on TV, because they're not putting anything on TV. Mm-hmm. They're not putting anything on TV. They won't even talk about Jeffrey Epstein no more. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, well, forget about it now. You know, they won't talk about all the people that were with him. They won't talk about anything, you know, nothing. OK, so except for Prince, whatever.
Harry.
Oh, Harry? I don't know. No, it wasn't Harry. It was some other guy, but he's in a lot of trouble. He's in a lot of trouble. He got interviewed, and they told him that was the dumbest interview ever.
Yeah, that was bad.
Because he basically just told on himself. Okay, let's pray out. Hallelujah. Elohim tov kol hazman. And now let's pray out. Yivreka ka Adonai v'yishmareka. Yair Adonai panavilecha vechuneka. V'yasim Adonai panavilecha v'yasim l'kai shalom. And the Lord said to Moses, when you see my people, tell them, the Lord bless you and keep you. That's funny. I can say it in Hebrew, but I can't remember it in English. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, everybody. Stay alert. Stay in your word. Don't let anybody veer you off of your excitement about his coming and Jesus Christ, your relationship. Amen.
Amen.
Baruch atah.